message on Galatians 3:15-18, wondered why I didn't deal at length with verse 16. Let me read it to you. Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He, that is God, saith not unto seeds as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed, which is Christ. Perhaps there is no passage in the Bible over which there has been so much theological dispute as this verse. Here's what the problem is. The Old Testament scriptures confirm again and again God's promise to Abraham that his seed would be greatly multiplied and that God would bless them and that they would become a blessing to all nations. But after Israel's rejection of Christ, here comes Paul, and he says in Galatians 3:16, God didn't say to seeds as of many. He said, and to thy seed, which is Christ. Now, doesn't that seem like a rather crafty and illegitimate use of one word on Paul's part to prove that the world will be blessed through Christ alone and not through the multiplied seed of Abraham or the nation Israel? Now, let me read the promise that evidently he refers to more particularly than any of the others. Now, we're going to see the others too, though. Genesis 22:17-18. Now, you listen to this and see what you would take it to mean. Here God says to Abraham, that in blessing I will bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply thy seed as the stars of heaven, and as the sand which is upon the seashore, and thy seed shall possess the gate, or conquer the territory of his enemy. And in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice. Now, is it not perfectly evident from this passage that God promised Abraham that he would multiply his seed, and in that multiplied seed he would bless all the nations of the earth? True, God used the word seed here, as Paul says, but this word seed in Hebrew and Greek, as in English, is a compound word. It may refer to one single seed or to a bag full. And here in Genesis 22:17-18, as in the various confirmations of the promise, God clearly refers to Abraham's multiplied seed, the nation Israel. And yet Paul, also writing by inspiration and calling attention to this word seed in the promise, declares that it refers not to the multiplied seed of Abraham, but to one single seed, Christ. Now there's a real theological problem for you. But may I make a suggestion about all such problems? When you are confronted with a seemingly irreconcilable situation in the Word of God, or what seems to be a clear contradiction, it is always better to wait for further light than to jump to conclusions and force meanings one way or the other, and so try to reconcile these two scriptures. This is one of the basic rules of Bible interpretation. For many, a seeming contradiction, after further light has been drawn from the Word, has turned out to be the most marvelous truth and perfectly harmonious with itself and with the rest of the Bible. Years ago, the president of a Christian college wrote me a striking letter in which he said, in effect, I am an anti-dispensationalist. Now, I might just stop here and explain. The word dispensation means dealing out. It has to do with house government. That's what the word is, to govern a house. And God has dealt with mankind in different ways in the past millennium. There was the dispensation of the law, that was a temporary dispensation. Today we're living under the dispensation, or the administration, we'd call it in government, of grace. Now, this man said, I am an anti-dispensationalist. I don't believe there are any different dispensations. And you are considered by some to be an extreme dispensationalist. Now, my contention is, he said, that either you are right or I am right. But this I know, that all the so-called dispensationalists in between are certainly wrong. And on this basis, he graciously invited me to the college to spend some days to discuss the matter at length. Later, he even published an article by me and an article by him on the subject, entitled Both Sides, in his magazine. Well, we did meet some weeks later, and our discussion soon centered around this verse, Galatians 3:16, where Paul says, notice he doesn't say to seeds as of many, but as of one, as of thy seed, which is Christ. Now, this passage, he contended, was God's exegesis, or God's interpretation, his explanation of the promises to Abraham regarding his seed. Now, all these promises, he insisted, referred to one single seed, Christ, and not to Abraham's multiplied seed. But this is impossible. It would cast a shadow on God's veracity, his honesty. Let's turn to the Old Testament promises now. Go back to Genesis, if you will, the first book in the Bible, and see how terribly we would have to twist and force the plainest scriptures to make these promises refer to one single seed. Now, just forget the other side of the problem. Just see what you get out of these verses. Genesis 13, verses 14 to 16. And the Lord said unto Abram, after that Lot was separated from him, lift up now thine eyes, and look from the place where thou art, northward, and southward, and eastward, and westward. For all the land which thou seest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed. Does that sound like it's one seed? To occupy all that land? Now look, and he goes on, and I will make thy seed as the dust of the earth, so that if a man can count the dust of the earth, then shall thy seed also be numbered. Now clearly that is a promise concerning the multiplied seed of Abraham. Chapter 15, verse 5. Listen to this. And he brought forth Abraham abroad, and said, look now toward heaven, and count the stars, if thou be able to number them. And he said unto him, so shall thy seed be. Now surely this has to do with the multiplied seed of Abraham, with the nation Israel. Now, Chapter 17, verses 7 and 8. Here he says, I will establish my covenant between me and thee and thy seed after thee in their generations, for an everlasting covenant to be a God unto thee and to thy seed after thee. And I will give unto thee and to thy seed the land wherein thou art a stranger, all the land of Canaan, for an everlasting possession, and I will be their God. Clearly he's speaking about multiplied seed. Why does Paul say to Abraham and his seed were the promises made? Not seeds as of many, but one seed, Christ. Why does he say that? Well, let's wait. Go farther. We read chapter 22 of Genesis 17 and 18, where God says, blessing I'll bless you, and multiplying I'll multiply you like the stars of heaven and the sand and the seashore, and in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. Now, my dear friend, that has to be his multiplied seed. In chapter 26, he confirms the promise to Abraham's son Isaac in verse 4, where he says, I will make thy seed to multiply as the stars of heaven, and so on, and in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. Isn't that referring to his multiplied seed? At Genesis 28:4, we find him Genesis 28:14, we find him confirming this promise again to Jacob, his grandson. He says, and thy seed shall be as the dust of the earth, and thou shalt spread abroad to the west and the east and the north and the south, and in thee and in thy seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed. My friend, wouldn't it be dishonest to say that this does not refer to the multiplied seed of Abraham? Wouldn't God be dishonest if he made the promise and then later said, well, I only meant one seed, when he had used the word multiply again and again and emphasized the vast number of the seed through whom the world was going to be blessed? Wouldn't that be dishonest? The little girl who asked her mother was very right when she said, if God didn't mean what he said, why didn't he say what he meant? That's very true. Now, these promises were clearly identified with Abraham's multiplied seed when Israel was in bondage in Egypt. Exodus 2, verses 23 and 24, it came to pass, in the process of time, the king of Egypt died, and the children of Israel sighed by reason of the bondage, and they cried, and their cry came to God by reason of their bondage. And God heard their groaning, and God remembered his covenant with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Who does that refer to? One seed or many? It refers to his multiplied seed, the nation Israel. In Deuteronomy 1, there you have Moses. He understood it to mean the multiplied seed, for there he says to the vast multiplication of Abraham's seed, the children of Israel, behold, the Lord hath set the land before thee. Go up and possess it, as the Lord God of thy fathers hath said unto thee. Fear not, neither be discouraged. Isaiah certainly understood it that way when he said, arise and shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. And darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people, but the Lord shall arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen in thee, and Gentiles shall come to thy light, and kings to the brightness of thy rising. You say, well, that could refer to Christ, could it? Well, in just two verses, the two previous verses, he says, the Redeemer shall come to Zion, and unto them that turn from transgression in Jacob, saith the Lord, for this is my covenant with them. And then he goes on, they're going to be the blessers of the nation. Oh, you have so many, the time is going too fast, but in almost the last book of the Old Testament, Zechariah 8:13, it shall come to pass, he says to Israel, as ye, as plural, were a curse among the Gentiles, O house of Judah and house of Israel, so will I save you, and ye shall be a blessing. Isn't that the multiplied seed of Abram that's going to bless the world? The 23rd verse, in those days it will come to pass that 10 men will take hold out of all the languages of the nations, even shall take hold of the skirt of him that is a Jew, and say, let's go with you, for we know that God is with you. When you look at the prayer, or rather the declaration by Zechariah in Luke 1:68-75, there again it's very clear, Lord, you've visited Israel, you've redeemed them, and now you're going to soon perform the promises made to them. Peter certainly understood those promises this way in Acts 3:25-26. He says, you, plural, are the children of the prophets and of the covenant which God made with our fathers, saying unto Abraham, in thy seed shall all the kindreds of the earth be blessed. Unto you first, God having raised up his son Jesus, sent him to bless you in turning away every one of you from his iniquity. Ah, but As we remember, when Christ came at first, Israel did not accept him as their king. Israel was not redeemed. Israel was not saved. And today, she is scattered all over the face of the earth. So let's ask, if God was to bless the world through Abraham's multiplied seed, through which generation up until now, up until Christ, could he have done it? Through Jacob and his generation? Oh, what a failure Jacob himself was. Through Moses and his generation? Why, Moses also was a failure in many ways, though both of them were great men. But Israel, of that day, he said, oh, you're a stiff-necked generation. How could they bless the world? They didn't believe when God said, go up and possess the land. He says, the Hebrew says, they entered not in because of unbelief. And Moses himself said to them, in this thing you didn't believe the Lord your God. Could they bless the world? What about David's generation? David himself, though God loved him dearly, was an adulterer and a murderer. How could his generation bless the world? Daniel? Well, Daniel was a great man. Nothing evil is said against him. But his generation was in captivity because of their departure from God. No, the blessing of the Gentiles through Abraham's seed, now listen carefully, becomes less and less possible until you come to one person. Here we're coming to the explanation of Galatians 3:16, why Paul says what he does. It becomes the blessing of the Gentiles through the seed, the multiplied seed of Abram, becomes less and less possible till you come to one person, the Lord Jesus Christ, the spotless Son of God, the one seed of Abraham, who, the Bible says, did no sin. But does this then confirm the argument that God did not mean that he would bless the world through the nation Israel, the multiplied seed? Is it possible that Galatians 3:16 is indeed an explanation of those promises? If it were, we'd have to conclude that Galatians 3:16 explains those promises away. And that's not honest, and that's not fair. Moreover, Paul, as well as the Old Testament prophets, himself predicted that Abraham's multiplied seed will one day become the blessers of the world. You remember Romans 11:25-26. I would not, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this secret. Here we come to the truth of the mystery. Lest you be wise in your own conceits, he says to these Gentiles. I don't want you to be ignorant that blindness in part has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles, that is, of this Gentile age, be come in. And so all Israel shall be saved. And remember what Zechariah 8 said about that? I'll save you, and then you'll be a blessing to the Gentiles. So all Israel shall be saved, for this, he says, is my covenant. As it is written in the Old Testament, there shall come out of Zion the deliverer. Remember the end of the 59th of Isaiah? There shall come out of Zion the deliverer to turn away ungodliness from Jacob. So it's through redeemed Israel that the world will someday find salvation and blessing. So it was true what Peter said to the Jewish audience in Acts 3:26, unto you first, God, having raised up his Son Jesus, sent him to bless you in turning away every one of you from his iniquities. That's what Christ came to do and one day will do. That's why he says in Romans 11:26, all Israel shall be saved, as it is written, the deliverer shall come out of Zion and turn away ungodliness from Jacob. So God will bless the world through Israel, through Christ. You get it? That's the secret. This is what Galatians 3:16 is all about. Here is a demonstration today that this must be so, because today nobody is being saved except through Christ. So Israel, that blessed, that nation blessed of God, will have to learn this, and will someday learn it. Today, while a favored nation is temporarily set aside, as we read in Romans 11, all blessing flows and must flow through Christ. This is the heart of what Paul calls the mystery. How he emphasizes this again and again. This is why he says God didn't use the word children, or he didn't use the word descendants. That would have to be plural alone. But he used the word seed because he knew it was going to be narrowed down to one seed, and through that one seed, all the seed would someday be saved and become a blessing to the world. Now today it's through this seed alone we're accepted in the Beloved One. In Christ we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace. If any man be in Christ, there is a new creation. Know ye not that as many of you as were baptized into Christ were baptized into His death? See, we're baptized into Christ, made one with Him by the act, the operation of the Holy Spirit, as Paul says in Colossians 2. The phrase "in Christ" lies at the heart of Paul's great message. And someday, thank God, the chosen race will see it. They'll come to know Him. They will accept Him. And they will find their blessing in Him. And they will be a blessing to the world through Christ. How wonderful. Well, you see, there's no contradiction then in Galatians 3:16. It doesn't contradict the Old Testament promises. It only gives us further light, doesn't it? And it explains what's happening today. How it is not through any multiplication of people, but through Christ alone that we're being saved. This is, I say, the heart of the mystery. And here we find it again in Galatians 3, verse 16.